This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Fall Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket. It's time for the Blue Turf Sports Report with BJ Raines of the Idaho Press. Presented by RoePaint.com. Don't just repaint, RoePaint.com.
What's up? Welcome back. Prater and the Ball Game live from the Snowmobile Show. We're at the Ford Idaho Center Sports Complex, right next to the Ford Idaho Center. Going to have some fun, Prater, in an hour. We're going to start our Open Phone Friday. We're going to talk about Jeremiah Dickey. It's hard to imagine. Tomorrow night is the final home football game of the season. I can't believe we're on game six already, but we're going to give a close, deep dive examination on Jeremiah Dickey, year one with this football team.
Yeah, and not so much him, but also the game day experience, what he's implemented there at Albertson Stadium, the beer, the atmosphere, the changes, what you guys like on the football field, too. We want to get after a home football season and review. Ball game, we waited 2 years for a real football season. I feel like it lasted for 2 weeks.
Yeah, well said. Callers, we're going to ask for you to join in about an hour. Until then, let's get to the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. It's our Blue Turf Sports Report with BJ Raines of the Idaho Press and BlueTurfSports.com. BJ, welcome. Hope you're enjoying your Friday, and I'm going to start you off on hoops today. Boise State routes Temple this morning. What stood out the most, my friend?
Well, I mean, we don't want to get too excited. It's one game, and Temple's, you know, 120th at KenPom. I mean, it's an okay win, but it's not like Temple's projected to get to the Final Four or anything this year. So you do need to temper the expectations a little bit. But based on what you've seen the first couple of games, it was very nice to see a bounce back performance like that. To see them, you know, shoot the 3-point shot better than they have, 52% from three. That was impressive to see what Emmanuel Acott continues to do. He looks like he is emerging as the alpha dog on this team. With no Derek Alston, it looks like Emmanuel Acott is now that guy that's going to have the ball in his hands as the point guard. He's going to be taking those contested shots. I mean, he looks like a different player to me. So a lot of reasons to be encouraged. I thought Miladin Narmoush played a lot better today after struggling yesterday. But to me, the outside shooting, the assist, the ball movement, 25 assists after having five just 2 games ago against Irvine. I think there are a lot of reasons to be encouraged. And Leon Rice said it. This team looked today a lot better than the team that opened the season 2 weeks ago, and it's hard to disagree with them.
BJ, it may be November 19th, but you, my friend, you're in March Madness form already with this basketball team. Me and Prater were chuckling a little bit about the fights and battles and back and forth you get into on Twitter with Boise State fans or Boise State haters. Holy smokes, man. You were going at it today with some of these guys for the last couple of days, BJ.
Well, I just thought yesterday people were overreacting way too much to a game against the number 22 team in the country. I mean, a team that's probably going to be in the Sweet 16. I just thought that people were acting like they played San Jose State yesterday when they let the lead slip away. I mean, sure, would you have liked to have finished the game better and not made one of your final 9 shots and hung on to the lead and gotten the win? Sure, but is it time to say, here we go again, Leon Rice can't win the big one, and another season, you know, time to move on from Rice? I mean, no, I just thought it was crazy. We're 3 games into the season, and so, I had a little fun today. I went back and counted because I thought my Twitter timeline was kind of quiet, and I had 17 people that tweeted at me yesterday ripping the team or Rice, and I just, you know, took a quick gander at those 17 people's timelines this afternoon, and not just at me, but just in general, not one of the 17 had a single tweet about the game, good or bad, and so they wait, and they pounce when they lose, and when they win, they're quiet, and it's just, I guess, how this fan base is, but I thought it was a overreaction, way too overreaction yesterday, and I thought today, again, you know, it's easy to overreact. It's Temple. It's not exactly a Final Four caliber team, but I thought it was a good reminder that it's a long season and we're 4 games in. And as Aaron Rodgers said famously, let's just relax.
Talking Boise State basketball, Boise State football, Blue Turf Sports Report with BJ Raines, Idaho Press, and BlueTurfSports.com. BJ, I'm guilty as charged. Although I'll say some of my stuff for March. I'm not going to get too carried away right now. So I see your point. But in March, tell me how this team, what you see from this team so far, that this team is going to be consistent. And I mean consistent, consistently throughout the entire season, all the way into March. There's always going to be bumps. I get that. But big picture stuff, can this basketball team, is it built to be more consistent?
I mean, I think it is. I think just the depth, I think you saw again in this game. I mean, you had Pavle Kuzmanovic come off the bench with 8 points. You had Najee Smith come off the bench with 9 points. And a lot of those points were still, you know, when the game was somewhat in doubt in the first half or early in the second half before they had really extended the lead. It wasn't like mop-up duty. And we've seen Tyson Degenhart, the freshman, come in. So I think the options they have off the bench are going to be a little better this year. And I think when you're having I think the first three games they had three different guys lead the team in scoring. So I think whether it's Shaver, Dutree, Vacott, Keyjab, I mean, they've got, you know, multiple guys that I think on any given night could go for 20 points. And so I think the nights where all of them are ice cold, which you had at Irvine, I don't think there's going to be a ton of those. So I think you hope that two or three of those guys can at least do enough offensively. And, again, the ball movement today was just very impressive. And so, you know, this is a team that is certainly going to have to play well on defense, and they're going to have to be a team and move the ball and do those kind of things. But I just think it's a long season. I think there are reasons to be encouraged. I mean, two games in to say, oh, this team can't shoot, they're terrible, they can't shoot, I just think was crazy. And, again, it's one game today, but they made 12 threes and shot 53% from the field. I mean, they're going to be somewhere in the middle. They're not a 16% three-point shooting team. They're not a 50% three-point shooting team. But if they can shoot 33-35%, that might be good enough for them this year. So I just think it's a more balanced team this year. I don't think you need Derek Alston to go get 25 points a game to have a chance. There were years where you needed Justinian Jessup and Alston and Hutchison to go do their thing. You know, they had four guys in double figures today. They had, you know, six guys, I think, or seven guys at least with 6 points. I mean, they're going to be more balanced and not rely on one guy. And I think, you know, come later in the season, if a guy has an off night, somebody else can step up. I think there's a lot of guys.
Starting next week, Friday night, Boise State plays three straight home games against Bakersfield, St. Louis, and Tulsa. But first, a Sunday morning game, probably against Ole Miss. I know that game against Elon is tonight. Ole Miss is important for Boise State's DNA for this schedule, for this strength of schedule moving forward, right? That's what we want to play on Sunday, right, Ole Miss?
Yeah, oh, definitely. They're ranked number 58 right now at KenPom. So that's certainly a game that will be either a quad one or a quad two game. It's a neutral site game, so they got to be top 50 to be a quad one win, which is like the best quality win you can get for the NCAA tournament. So they're going to be 58, or at least they were before this Elon game. So you're talking about a game by the end of the season. If Ole Miss is in the top 50, that's a quad one win. At worst, it's a quad two win. So, yeah, that's going to be a very big game, 11 a.m. on Sunday. It'll be, you know, probably a pick'em or close to it with a Vegas line, maybe Ole Miss favored by a point or two. But that is certainly a swing game. The Temple win doesn't do much for you in terms of the NCAA tournament, so to speak. You know, Temple's 130th at KenPom or whatever. But if you can win a top 60 KenPom game this early in the season, it's a huge game. And I think that's another thing people are forgetting. Three of the four games Boise State has played here have been teams, you know, top 130 or higher in KenPom. I mean, this has been a pretty tough schedule. It's going to be a tough schedule. St. Louis is a top 100 team. Tulsa's top 150. Santa Clara coming up in December is ranked 91st. Washington State is 53rd. I mean, you're going to have 6, 7, 8 really, really quality non-conference games before they start conference play, which are going to help the computer rankings, and that's already showing. Boise State started 80th at KenPom, and they're already up to 67, so they've picked up 13 spots despite being 2-2. So the computers are going to be kind to Boise State if they can win some of these games.
BJ, you keep talking about this, KenPom. You talk about it a lot on social media and here. Just tell me and tell the listeners why, what this is, why it's important, and how it can impact Boise State's season.
Well, KenPom, it's Ken Pomeroy is the guy, and you guys should really get him on the show. He's an awesome guy, Ken Pomeroy. He basically developed his own metrics that were way more indicative than the old RPI of predicting teams and ranking teams and looking at not just the score and not just the opponent's record, looking at all these adjusted offensive, adjusted defensive efficiency. There's all these – it's basically sabermetrics in baseball. Everyone talks about sabermetrics and all this stuff. That's basically what it is. It's advanced analytics and sabermetric-type things for basketball to accurately rank teams and project teams moving forward based on who you've played and how they've done, and also, you know, how your ball movement is and percentage of threes. And just there's so many kind of in-depth stats that go into it. And they actually had to change the RPI to this quote-unquote net ranking the last couple of years because so many people were saying how outdated the RPI was and how KenPom is so much better. And now Ken Pomeroy's rankings are one of the three or four rankings that the NCAA selection committee has on the sheet when they are looking at teams. So it is one of the ranking systems, and it's by all accounts the best ranking system of teams when it comes to projecting games and rankings and all that. So it matters, and as I said, it's a very good thing, and it's online, kenpom.com. And Boise State's already up 13 spots in four games, and if they can continue to climb, it's going to have this ranking system will have a say in NCAA tournament bubble and all that kind of stuff later in the season.
Blue Turf Sports Report, BJ Raines, Idaho Press with us, Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. BJ, you heard us talking about, you know, the final home game of the football season tomorrow night. Prater said it feels like 2 weeks. I'm with them. Where are you on this? You cover this team.
Yeah, it's a little different traveling and stuff, you know, on the road for the weekends. It makes for some long weekends, and it does seem like at times the season goes slow, and then you look up and you're in two games left. It is pretty crazy how fast it's gone. And so, yeah, it's just been a really weird year. The three home losses on the Blue, I don't think anybody ever saw that coming. Some of the big wins on the road, I mean, Prater has certainly covered Boise State football a lot longer than us, but I can't imagine there's too many seasons that have unfolded just the uniqueness of this one with the some of the big wins and some of the losses at home and just the way the season has gone. But, they still have a chance to finish strong and have a chance to what should be a fairly easy win, you would hope, tomorrow night, and then, you know, see if you get any help. I know that a lot of people thinking Wyoming might have a chance in Logan tomorrow. So, we'll see what happens. But it's been a weird year, but I think Andy Avalos has done what he needed to do off the field in terms of the culture and implementing his system and some of the beliefs and things that he wants to do, that I think maybe the hard schedule this year, they take their lumps a little bit. And I still fully believe in Andy Avalos and this program, being a perennial top 25 power moving forward.
BJ, let's take a big leap into the future here a couple of weeks down the road. I know there's a San Diego State game next week, but where's Boise State going to end up? They're not going to probably at this point be in the Mountain West title game. And the Mountain West bowl selection isn't absolutely that great. I can't imagine Boise State's that marketable for another bowl spot. Where are they going to play a bowl game this year?
Well, I mean, for a while, I was just hoping it was going to be the Potato Bowl just for personal reasons and not having it screw up Christmas and saving money and all that stuff. I mean, I think that the Potato Bowl made some sense, but from some folks I've talked to, and now that they've won a couple of these games, I don't think that's a realistic option for Boise State to staying and playing in the Potato Bowl. Obviously, the L.A. Jimmy Kimmel Bowl goes to the league champion, which won't be them probably if you take that out of it. I mean, I think the Hawaii Bowl is still an option. That provide them potentially the best opponent when you look at an AAC team. Maybe the Hawaii Bowl is an option. Other than that, you're looking at, one of these other ESPN contracted bowls, whether it's the Frisco Bowl down there in Texas, is an option that I've seen a couple times. Heard some people talk about the Frisco Bowl. That's versus a Conference USA team. Doesn't really do much for you. The Arizona Bowl is maybe a potential one against the MAC, but I really don't want that personally. That's like the 28th and is horrible. I think if you're Boise State, I think you want a bowl game that gets you done before Christmas, if at all possible. It's been a weird year, and I really don't know if an 8-4 or 7-5 team is one that you want making Miss Christmas to have bowl practices and finish up on the 31st, which I believe the Arizona Bowl is New Year's Eve. So I think you want to try to find a bowl game if you can, whether it's the one of these ones that's earlier on. Even the Hawaii Bowl is Christmas Eve, but which is not ideal. But I think they want a pre-Christmas bowl, and there's not a ton of options. But don't forget, ESPN trades and does all these kind of things to find best matchups. So it's very possible Boise State ends up in a bowl we're not even thinking of, one that's not associated with the Mountain West, because they make trades all the time. And Boise State lost that ESPN contract. They only get two games on ESPN this year. I think ESPN would love to find a good spot to get that Boise State brand back on TV for one more game in a good spot.
Last I remember, the Arizona Bowl, aired on Facebook or something. I don't even know where that airs.
Barstool Sports. It's airing exclusively on Barstool Sports, which I think San Diego State said they wouldn't play in it if they get picked for it. I mean, there's some serious issues with Barstool going on, and they've had multiple conversations about them and David Portnoy. So that's interesting. But their plan is to only air it on the Barstool social media channels, and they're going to have a weird broadcast to it. It's going to be a very unique experience for whichever Mountain West team ends up there.
They'd love to have Boise State. Portnoy and those guys and those chuckleheads over there, they would love to air that on Boise State, in my opinion. Prater, I think BJ, all in all, I know he says he loves his wife and kids and, holidays, yay. I think BJ just wants to get to Hawaii. I think the Rainmaker, he just wants to get down to Hawaii and do
You want to know
thing.
A secret, Johnny? We already have a family trip to Hawaii starting on Christmas Day. So if they make
the
Hawaii Bowl, it's perfect for me because I just stay there and they show up the next day. If they make it to the Arizona Bowl or one of these bowls that ruins my family trip to Hawaii, I will I'll have some serious issues with Mr. Dickey and this crew moving forward.
Great stuff, BJ. Talk next week, my friend. Actually, we might be taking next week off with Thanksgiving and stuff, but we'll figure it out, man. See you tomorrow night in the press box. That's BJ Raines. Blue Turf Sports Report on Fridays. Prater, would you, the Hawaii Bowl versus the AAC. You're not going to play it at Aloha Stadium. You're playing it at that makeshift stadium on campus. Holds about 5,000 people, 10,000, but that's usually what the bowl game draws anyway. I don't know, man. Is that? I mean, what would you want to cover? Like, for me and you in our show, would you take the Hawaii Bowl?
Probably not. No, that's not going to do me any good. And you know, the 31st on a streaming service on Facebook or social media, that's not going to work for me either. I think they're probably looking at it's just bad, dude. It's just bad, dude. I mean, there's Fort Worth. Nobody wants to go to the New Mexico Bowl. Man, not even New Mexico wants to go to the New Mexico Bowl.
Yeah.
I reached out to the Mountain West today looking for updated bowl information. They actually sent it about 20 minutes ago, and I tried to open up the file, and it was a corrupt file. Typical Mountain West. But sorry, Javen. Love you, buddy. But your document didn't work. We'll figure it out, but it's not going to be a good ballgame. At the end of the day, it's not going to be good, and I think a pre-Christmas one would be best for everybody.
Are you telling me, because we host Bronco game night, that we might be in the studio on New Year's Eve working, doing a call-in post-game show?
I'm going to tell you right now, ballgame, I think there's a 50% chance we're either going to be working post-midnight on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve.
What a buzzkill.
Welcome to KTIK Boise State football coverage, my friend.
I love it, man. We're live here at the Snowmobile Show with the where are we again, Prater? Oh, yeah. We're at the Idaho Center Sports Complex here, and we're having a blast. We wanted to get you guys to swing on by and say, hey, not just snowmobiles. I mean, gear, helmets, snowsuits, sleds, gloves, all at great prices. They got a bar, so we see people basically right now what we're looking at. Bunch of people walking around with tall boy beers checking out snow gear. That's pretty cool, man.
I'm going to leave you, ballgame. I'm leaving you. I'm ditching you right now.
San Diego State, what's the best football season they've ever had? Marshall Faulk, Dan McGuire, Rocky Long, or is it this year? And what does that mean for Boise State? That's next. Prater in the ballgame.